you know, in a community. And just how am I supposed to say that to somebody? Sure, we wave it off. We go on about our day. Nothing happened. I heard it on trial. Yeah, I've had people yell at me. I've had them buzz me. I didn't buzz anybody. I didn't yell until after I backed up. And then it was, I told them, get off the road. I told them, get off the effing road. You're in effing danger. I'm just putting it all out there because I need to get this off my chest. Because I do feel it's a danger, not only to them, but to us in general. And I'll tell you, if I knew that anybody had hit the ground and really gotten hurt, I would have been the first one out there trying to help them. I believe in helping others. I've done my part to try and do so, and I sure as heck would. If given the opportunity, I would help any of these folks. I would help the cycling community however I could to make it safer. I would, it doesn't matter to me. The bottom line is I want to improve things, not tear them down. And this was absolutely an isolated incident and would never happen again. I just don't know what you do. I tried to communicate with a horn because that's what I had in the car. What else do I do? Do I throw the bottle at him out the window? That's not mature. That's not going to do anything, but it's going to be somebody threw a bottle at me. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean anything's going to be learned or discussed. It just means that somebody threw something at me and they went on about their day. I just wanted to have some words with these folks about what the heck are you doing? You know, this isn't safe. And that's it. I'm not anti-cyclist. I would help my community. I would help that group specifically without issue to try and make their life better if I could. I have nothing against Doug Harrell, Ed Bink, Ed Delvin, or any of the other folks that testify. I have nothing against any of them. I just want this to be safer. And if something can be improved, let's improve it. Let me be part of that. I agree. I would help these folks. You know, I'm that person. If I'm given the opportunity, I guess that's about all I can say, Your Honor, is I never had any ill intent or any aggression towards this group. I didn't testify because I didn't know how to respond. I'm not a villain. I spent 4 years in the military as an explosive ordnance disposal specialist and ammunition specialist. I carried a nuclear top secret clearance. After my military service as a disabled veteran breaking my neck during active duty, I got out of the military and I went into anti-terrorism, a civilian contract for the State Department. I trained international security groups to protect people, including the Olympic Games. I am in no means a villain. Then after that, I went to school because I wanted to try something different that got me a little closer to home. I went to school. I got an associate's degree in in business administration. I went into human resources with the Forest Service, and then I eventually, to correct my attorney, I eventually ended here at Bureau of Land Management in Santa Fe as the human resource person for wildland fire, Forest State, New Mexico. I was trying to get closer and closer to home so that I could be closer to my grandmother as she's aging and be more available instead of on the road. I had never had an incident. I've always carried some sort of clearance from public trust to nuclear top secret, as I told you. I'm willing to do my part. I've been proving that my entire life, man. I'm 18 years old. I was putting on that uniform. I put on that uniform to protect. After that uniform, I was still trying to protect. Right now, I'm still trying to protect. What I think they did was reckless. I absolutely do. The fact that I'm sitting here has torn me apart because I do believe that there's a reckless behavior here on both sides. Okay, I'm willing to take responsibility for whatever my actions are defined as. I don't understand the laws, but what I do understand is that it takes two parts to have an issue like this, and both sides were reckless. I want to make it safe, and I'm willing to do what I need to do in order to do so, including, like I said, if Mr. Harrell can't Reach your cereal, I heard. I'll come and reach your cereal. I'll help you. Won't be the first time I've done these things. I'm not trying to make light of it, but what I'm saying is I know that this is a situation because I had my neck fused. What do you think? I mean, you know, that was my neck. I have a titanium plate in my spine. I wouldn't have free motion. I was in the military, still in uniform, still exercising, still doing what I had to do. I didn't have help, really, so much. So I understand the hardships. I'm willing to help. I didn't want to cause any harm. And if this has been defined as being caused by my hand, that's for my mercy on the court and everybody else in here. It's not who I am. Quite frankly, it's embarrassing, and I'm trying, Grandma, thank you. It's embarrassing. I've always tried to do the right thing, this just went wrong. And I didn't know how to react. I could have gotten out of my car, but the guy opened my door. What's going to happen next? You know, I heard somebody say gun. Did he have a gun? I don't have a gun. I'm telling you the same thing. Do I get out of my car and then it becomes physical? Maybe, maybe not. That's not even really the point now, but the point was I was trying to do the best I could at the moment in time when it was current. Getting out of the car and engaging physically with these people, possibly, if that's what it ended up being, because I didn't see anything other than a mob kind of around my car. I hear pounding. I got a guy yelling at me, cussing at me. I got a guy that opened my driver's side door. I didn't see ages and fitness levels and everything else. All I saw was that. So I'm overstimulated in a way that I don't know what's going on. I did leave. I went a couple miles down the road and there was an officer coming the other direction. And when he was passing me, I pulled over to the shoulder as you're supposed to, and I saw him slow roll me. I sat there. I figured he was coming to question me or whatever the case was. And he asked me if he could follow me back, and I participated fully. I tried to do my part, but remove myself from a situation that could have gone so much worse, possibly. But I didn't know, because I didn't get out of the car. I didn't stop. I didn't see Doug on the ground. And there was nobody in front of my car. Nobody on the ground in front of my car. I didn't see anybody hurt. I didn't see anybody on the ground. So I didn't know. I just didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. So I did leave. I was trying to get away from a situation that was hot, and I came back when I was asked to. I didn't even get a ticket. I had to ask the officer, well, what's going on next? He says, check my mail. It took 4 months, Your Honor, to get a police report. And then in the police report, I read all these horrible things about me, which is fine. We're all entitled to our opinions and views. But it really kind of, it's torn me up as well, because it's not who I am as a person. I do believe that they got hurt after hearing and seeing. I do see this. But I didn't at that moment in time. I didn't run anybody over. I didn't run anybody down. I stopped to have words. And what I really believe is happening here, Your Honor, is kind of a culture clash. I'm a country boy. I live out in a rural area. These folks live more in Santa Fe, it sounds like, and maybe from more heavily populated areas like Virginia. I've been to some of these areas as well. I was stationed outside D.C. I was stationed in Florida. I was stationed in Texas. I've been in Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia. I've been a lot of places. And I do know some of these more populated areas, they have a different attitude towards cyclists. I don't have this attitude towards cyclists. I'm the country boy that will stop on the side of the road and help somebody that appears to have a flat tire still. And people rattle their head at me all the time, like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? You know, what's wrong with me is I'm trying to help you. This was no different in the aspect of, I see something dangerous, you'd flip me off. You wouldn't let me by at first, and I was just trying to have words, an equal response. I thought First Amendment. I'm freedom of speech, freedom of expression was flipping me off. This is fine. I wasn't angry about that. I was upset though, eventually, and especially by the time you saw me in the lapel camera, I was upset, and I don't understand how I'm supposed to control everything around me. As a motor vehicleist, I'm supposed to leave a length between me and the car in front of me per 10 miles an hour that I'm traveling. Well, I heard in the test of the trial over and over again, we follow right behind each other. Well, from two bike tire lengths to a bicycle length, that's not a car length. You're over 10 miles an hour, you're telling me, 15 or 20 possibly, 10 even. You're not even giving yourself the mandatory length that I'm supposed to give myself as a motorist. How are you going to operate safely? This is part of my issue, is it's a two-sided thing here. There's got to be a solution to make this better. There's got to be a solution to make it safer for both sides. And I realize that I'm the person that has brought this to light through both my actions and the interactions that I've had with this group. But it's I'm not a supervillain. I don't hate anybody. I was just trying to have some words with some folks that I felt were acting unsafely in that situation, and this is where we're at. And it's been a lot to process for me as well. I've heard the testimonies, and I do feel for them. You know, even the state, the ADA over here, you know, I'm not a bad guy. I do have remorse. I have remorse for all of this stuff. It shouldn't happen. Highway 41 is a dangerous road in the aspect of no shoulder. It's like a couple of inches of shoulder. There's zero median. It's a 55 mile an hour zone. There are hills. There are turns. There are animals. There are traffic. I've seen people flying down that road doing who knows how fast. And when I hear I'm doing a high rate of speed and my speed was 35 to 60, what I heard during the trial, I'm on a 55 mile an hour zone trying to get around a group doing 15. These are the reasons why I didn't testify. I don't know how to answer to this. How do you not pass a high rate of speed if you're going the speed limit or under? What am I supposed to do? This is the question. I'll do it. I don't have a problem changing my behavior, and I will give you my word that this would never happen again. I do learn from my actions. I do learn from my experiences. I have to. We all do. But I want to have a chance to move forward. I would help these folks if given the opportunity, or I'd help whoever, the community. It doesn't matter to me, Your Honor. I just want some good to come out of this. And quite frankly, locking me in a box for a long period of time isn't going to bring good. Not to my grandmother, not to my fiance, not to my family. There's some of the most important people in my life. My grandmother, you know, she's turning 87 this month. She does need me, and I'm not trying to use this as an excuse. This has been a normal thing. She's needed help for quite some years since my grandfather passed about eight years ago. And he asked me on his deathbed to look out for his best friend. And I told him I would, and I feel like I'm failing him right now too. Which is not your problem either, but she's part of my family. She's part of the people that I try and look out for. And I want to continue to be able to do so. However the punishment needs to come down, if this is what we have to do and this is what I have to accept, so be it. But please, please, please allow me to be there for her. You know, please allow me to be there for her. And if I can be there for them, I would do it. I don't know how that works. I'm a compassionate guy like that. I understand pain. I've been through it, man. I have been through it. I've been through it for all of our freedoms, and you know, I'm not saying that that's an excuse either. I'm just saying that I understand pain, and I understand. I just I want to make it right in the best, most logical way possible. And I don't know what that is. I throw myself on the mercy of the court and everybody else in this room. Sorry. I'm sorry. This happened this way.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Anything else?
No, Your Honor.
Before I pronounce sentence, a few observations. You've all been watching me. I take notes from different people that speak. I guess I'd like to start with Mr. Schiffmiller's comments. You described it as there being a bias in terms of motor drivers and people on bicycles. It's actually broader than that. There's an asymmetry in the law related to crimes involving vehicles and other crimes. The best example I can give you is stealing somebody's car, receiving or transferring a stolen motor vehicle. You steal somebody's car in New Mexico, first offense, it's maximum 18-month sentence. If you stole the equivalent of a car, anything over $20,000, and I'd be hard-pressed to buy a car for less than $20,000 anymore, it's a second-degree felony, maximum sentence of 9 years. There are other examples of that in the law where the crime is different because an automobile is involved. A vehicular homicide is another example. If you kill somebody with a car, it's a less serious offense, the way the laws are created and structured in New Mexico, than if you did the same thing some other way. And so there is an asymmetry in the law. I think your point was a little different, and that is that that there's a difference in the way many people view public roads, public highways, and our respective rights and obligations when we use those things. The bias that you were describing is fairly common. Bicyclists take a lot of abuse. They get yelled at. They get buzzed at. People try and ease them over off of the road. People spit at them. There was testimony in this trial about from some of the witnesses about things having been thrown at them. There is an abuse that takes place. Statements of Mr. Brown a moment ago made me reflect on a couple of things, and that is, how does a situation get to this point? The language that Mr. Brown used that I wrote down and made notes of is both sides, us and them. I had with this group. And then the one that I wrote down and actually put an asterisk next to was tried to get next to the group. To what end, Mr. Brown?
Just to...
No, I'm not asking you a question. Because the jury gave you the answer. The jury heard the testimony of these witnesses. They heard the arguments of your attorney and the way he described the incident, which is basically what you've reiterated a little bit more today in more detail, which is a theory or a way of looking at the situation to come to a result that has no criminal culpability. The jury rejected all of that. This would be a different case if the incident had been simply honking the car and blowing past this group and the cussing and the language. It probably wouldn't even have been a case. That's fairly common. It happens a lot. The difference is the decision that you made after that exchange to instead of go on your way on the happy day that your attorney described to go home and be with your family. Instead, you made a decision to engage the group. And instead of waiting for the group to come to you, you made a decision to back up into that group of bicycle riders. You claim to know the risks or the difficulties or the challenges that bicycle riders have because you're on a bicycle. There's no shell around you. And yet you created a situation where three very experienced riders went down and sustained real physical injuries. And I'll talk about Mr. Harrell's injuries in just a moment. You blame the rabbits, you blame the antelope, you blame the motor vehicle department that this was a dangerous road, no shoulder, no median. The one thing you didn't say, which was testified to extensively during the trial, there was no traffic. There was no traffic at any time around this incident.
Yes, sir.
The only traffic was you passing this group of people. The testimony before the jury is that they were spread out. There was one group in the front, and then at least it sounds like a couple of other groups were described a little further back. There was one couple on a tandem bicycle who was more towards the back. It's a heavier bike. It's difficult to keep up with a fast group, but they were in this group. The testimony was that the jury heard is that at least the point in time when you passed the front riders, you were very close, and that you had been sitting on your horn the entire time. You made a statement a moment ago that you honked, as you recall it, four times or so. Where does hate begin? Where does the differentiation between us and them start? It starts with us not seeing individuals. It starts with us seeing people as members of groups. In this particular case, some of the members of that group who spoke here today and are here today picked a road that was free of heavy traffic, where they could, as they testified to, had ridden many times before. They had chosen that particular route because it was a remote location and didn't have a lot of traffic. They were being responsible. I don't know what happened in those moments when you came up upon this group and made a decision to pass and passed in this particular manner, but it's very, very clear that the decision that you made after that was criminal. Had you stopped your car at the bottom of the hill and gotten out with a baseball bat and inflicted the kind of damage you did to Mr. Harrell, this would have been a very different case. You probably would have been charged with an attempted first-degree murder. Because it was an automobile, the state is basically restricted because it's a more narrow law to prosecute you under that particular. But the damage and the effect were no different. You made a decision to try and get next to the group. Your rationalization after the fact was to have a conversation with them about being safe and we should share the road. I suggest to you, you weren't the person sharing the road. You made a decision to go back and try and intimidate the entire group, and you did. You exactly succeeded in what you were trying to do, which was to go back and, you know, scare them, intimidate them, give them a piece of your mind, however you want to describe it. That's exactly what you did. And as a result of it, you heard the injuries that have been sustained and the continued suffering that continues. It was, as described, March 1st, 2018, an early spring day, a beautiful day. From what your attorney said, for you as well as for these riders, it was a beautiful day. The only reason you're not here on a vehicular homicide case is not because of your actions. When Mr. Harrell's ride ended that day and his fight for his life started, it wasn't medical intervention, it wasn't divine intervention. Even though he had a lot of support from his family and friends, it wasn't his family and friends. The reason he's alive is because of the quality and substance of that man. And you saw him stand up here and cry. Mr. Harrell, I recognize you have lost a great deal. But what I saw today was an exceptional person who has overcome all of that and will continue to fight. Maybe you can't be in the A group anymore of the seniors on bikes in Santa Fe because you don't have that physical ability. But it's not your physical ability that drives you. It's up here and what's in here. And so whatever you face in the future, I wish you well. There are four considerations that a court takes in imposing sentence. One is restitution, if possible. One is rehabilitation. One is punishment. And one is example. This case speaks to a larger problem. And so it's the last two components of that four-part group that I impose sentence based on. Punishment. People are complicated. They can love their families. They can love their friends. They can take care of their relatives, and you've done all of that. But at the same time, people do very, very bad things, evil things. And that's what you did on March 1st. You took a fairly common daily occurrence that happens almost everywhere in this country, where motorists come upon bicycle riders, and it set you off. You're on a rural road with no traffic, clear weather conditions. There was nothing that prevented you from either waiting a few minutes to make sure that the coast was clear or to moving over far enough onto the roads so that you didn't pose any kind of a threat and gave those riders 5 feet. But you decided, for whatever group of reasons, to buzz past them at a high rate of speed within just a couple of feet of the front riders when you went past. Then you made a second decision. You weren't done. You wanted to give them a piece of your mind and get next to the group, so you put your vehicle in reverse and drove back at them at a high rate of speed, and the jury heard and made a decision based on the events that occurred when you decided to do that. And you've heard the testimony and statements of those individuals that were affected. For count one, great bodily injury by motor vehicle, the court imposes 3 years. For count two, leaving the scene of an accident with great bodily harm or death, the court imposes 18 months. For count three, reckless driving, the court imposes that's a 3-month sentence. As to counts one and two run concurrent to each other, but consecutive to count number two. As to count number two, the court suspends 1 year. The court sentences you for a net sentence of 3 years and 6 months in the custody of the New Mexico Department of Corrections. For the suspended year, the court requires that you participate in a victim impact group similar to that offenders for DWI. The court also, as a condition of your probation, requires that you participate in an anger management group and successfully complete that group. The court finds as to count number one that under the facts and circumstances of this case, that it is a serious violent offense and orders that you serve 85%, a minimum 85% of that sentence. Mr. Nichols, you're preparing the judgment and order. Do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Rodriguez, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
At this time, I remand you, Mr. Brown, to the custody of the Sheriff of Santa Fe County to be delivered at the earliest possible date to the Central Correctional Facility in Las Lunas, New Mexico, for classification and placement. Deputy, he's in your custody, and we're in recess and off the record.